Hello, church. Welcome to our service. I'm really looking forward to being able to share some of God's word with us this morning. I hope it's going to be encouraging because I think we need some encouragement this week. You know, the government have come out and introduced some further restrictions on how we're able to meet together. And of course, we've got to work out how that plays out in all of our lives. But it may feel this week like we're having to take a backward step. So I think in the midst of that, we as church need to set an example and to be people of light and hope to our community. I was thinking, you know, this community that we live in, there must be so many people who are actually starting to get quite nervous about the coming months as winter begins to draw in. There's certainly a sense, I don't know whether you felt it, of the seasons changing, and with that comes a certain nervousness about winter flu and the thought of coronavirus getting a lot worse. So there's a lot of people that are very anxious at the moment, and I think that means that we as a church, there's a greater emphasis on us being people of hope and of light and of faith in the midst of this. You know, we're called to be gospel people, good news people. So what is the good news in the midst of this current season? Well, I think the good news for our community is there is a God who is loving and compassionate and is there if we turn to him. And so we need to proclaim that message all the more in these coming weeks and months. So my hope actually this morning is that through sharing God's word together, we will be enthused in that endeavour, that we would have our faith strengthened as we draw closer to God and experience more of the security we have in God. Over the last few weeks, we've been sharing messages to do with being known by God, and a lot of our inspiration for that has come from Psalm 139, the wonderful psalm, "You have searched me and you know me, O Lord." And we're going to be delving into that psalm again today to pick up another verse and explore that together and unpack that. So that's going to be exciting. But before we do that, why don't we begin by singing together? I think at a time like this, there's nothing greater than to sing of the truths of God. And so even though we're all in our separate homes, perhaps we can somehow join together by singing one of the good creed songs. The song I've chosen is the one, "We Believe." In this time of desperation, in this broken generation, we believe. So I encourage you to sing out with all your hearts as we sing together, "We Believe."
Doubt and fear.
We believe. We believe. Well, let me pray for us before we delve into the scriptures. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful that you have given us a hope and a future. We are so thankful that during these times of difficulties, we can turn to our faith. And that forms such a solid foundation for us. And even though there may be times where we feel weak, we know you hold on to us and you are strong. And so we're grateful for that. Lord, as we come to the scriptures now, would you pour out your spirit upon each one of us, giving us wisdom and understanding. And may we hear your voice speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as I said earlier, we're looking at a couple of verses in Psalm 139. The verses I want to look at in particular are verses 17 and 18. And they say this: How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Well, what beautiful words those are. The first thing I want to pick up on here is actually an aspect of translation. If you have your Bibles open, you'll notice that at the end of the first part of verse 17, there's a footnote that's been added by the translators. This is where, within a verse in the original text, there's a little bit of ambiguity as to what the original author was meaning. And what that means is that then there are different ways of interpreting that particular verse. And it's nothing to worry about. Often the slightly different alternatives are very similar in meaning, but can sometimes give a slightly different emphasis. And that's the case here. So verse 17 says, How precious to me are your thoughts, God. But the alternative way of understanding that verse is for the psalmist to be saying, Precious are your thoughts concerning me. In other words, the psalmist is reflecting not just on God having many and wonderful thoughts and that they're precious in their own right, but the psalmist here is saying, actually, you're thinking about me, and how precious is that, that I'm even in your mind to be thinking, that you're even conscious of me. And given the context of this psalm, how personal this psalm is, I think that's a very valid translation. It makes sense that the psalmist is thinking of how God is concerned about him. And that then leads on to these wonderful verses that talk about those thoughts being so numerical, so numerous, or should I say. And we'll talk a little bit more about the grains of sand in a bit. But I think it's valid for us to say that God is concerned about each and every one of us. God thinks about us. God thinks about you. How wonderful is that? God thinks about you. But it does raise the question then, what does God think about you? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever spent some time thinking about what God thinks about you? I wonder if this morning we could just take a moment to perhaps think about that. What I suggest we do, I wonder if you could write down three words of what God thinks about you. You can do it completely privately. You don't have to share it with anyone. So what three words would God use to describe you? When you think about what God thinks about you, what three words come to mind? I'll give you like 30 seconds just to jot those down now. What does God think about you? Do you have your three words? Are they surprising words? Are they what you expected? It's interesting, isn't it? Well, before we move on, what I'd like us to do is ask a slightly different question and perhaps sort of repeat the exercise. This time, though, what I'd like us to consider is, what do you think of yourself? What do you think of yourself? If you had to put three words down of what you think of yourself, what would they be? So let's take another 30 seconds and then we'll see what comes out of that. What do you think of yourself? Okay, so you've got that list of words. Now look at those two lists side by side. The list of what you believe God thinks about you and what you think about yourself. How similar are those words? Are they the same words? Or are they vastly different? And also, which words speak the loudest? You see, it's very easy for our view of ourselves to sort of inform our view of how God thinks of us. You know, if I think negatively about myself, it's very easy to think that that's how God must see me as well. But the real challenge within Christian discipleship is to allow God's voice to be louder than our own. What that means is that when God speaks his truth over us, that has to inform and transform what we believe about ourselves. So if I struggle with self-esteem, but God honours me and speaks love over me and affirms my worth, the important thing is that I believe God's voice rather than my own. Now, that's not easy. And that's the process of maturity in Christ, allowing his voice to speak louder than ours. And it's also a process of maturity to recognize when we are imposing our view on God. When we're sort of speaking on God's behalf from how we feel. The real challenge in that scenario is to allow God's voice to speak independently of our own view. So in other words, if I don't like myself very much or a particular aspect of myself and therefore assume that that's how God feels about me, then I'm putting my words into God's voice, if you like. What we need to do is step back from that and say, well, where do we hear God speak? And we ultimately hear God speak through the scriptures. And so what do the scriptures say of how God feels about me? And when we read of how God feels about us, then it's a case of choosing to believe that over and above anything else. Now, as I say, this is not easy stuff, particularly if we struggled with issues of self-esteem for many years. But can I encourage you in that journey to listen for and grasp hold of the things that God would say from his word about how he feels about you? The psalmist says that God is thinking about us. Precious are your thoughts concerning me. Isn't it a part of the wonder of life to discover what those thoughts are? Well, we'll talk more about that in a moment. But why don't we pause there? And I'd love us to, again, sing a song of truth, of declaration, of affirmation. And so the song I've chosen is No Longer Slaves. The chorus speaks of, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Amen. Amen. Precious are your thoughts concerning me, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Have you ever thought how much that is? Let me give you a bit of an illustration. Apparently, you'll have to take my word for this, But on average, one teaspoon of sand contains approximately 4,000 individual grains. What that means is that one cup of sand contains somewhere in the region of about 4 billion grains of sand. Put that in context with all the beaches, all the deserts, all the sandy places of this world, and it adds up to quite a lot. Now, are we to take this literally? Is the psalmist just using poetic language? Well, yes, he is using poetic language, but it's no less true. If our God is the all-powerful, all-knowing God, then there is no limit to his thoughts for you and for me. How mind-blowing is that? God thinks about you all the time. You are always on his mind. And what I would say is the thoughts that he has for you are so precious and so beautiful and so wonderful. There's a little illustration that I thought would be helpful to kind of capture something of how God thinks about you. I don't know whether you've ever seen any of the microscopic shots of sand. Sand is such a nothing substance. We just walk on it without thinking. But when you get it really up close, sand is one of the most beautiful things imaginable. Here's a few pictures of sand close up. Stunning, aren't they? Just the beauty and the diversity and the thought that has gone into creating those individual grains of sand. If God's thoughts are anything like the beauty of those individual grains, then boy, are they precious. God thinks about you, and his thoughts are beautiful and wonderful. Of course, all this presents us with a slight dilemma in the fact that while it is wonderful to know that God thinks of us in that way, we're very conscious of our own sin, our own failings, our own struggles. We know that not everything in our life is beautiful. Does God just turn a blind eye to that? Or does he see the ugliness that accompanies the beauty? Well, of course he does. And this is where we need to develop a healthy view of how God sees us. You know, God sees us in a way, in a bit of a paradox. He sees us in terms of our status before him, but he also sees our walk before him. And the two need to go side by side and kind of held in tension. Just recently, there was a book published by the Good Book Company, a book written by a guy called Matt Fuller, who's a pastor in London, and it's called Perfect Sinners. The strapline for the book is "See yourself as God sees you," and I've only had a chance really to skim through the book, but it looks fantastic, and I think it would be of great value for anyone who struggles with how God sees them or who wants a healthier view of how God sees them. And in that book, he talks about how our status before God is one thing and our walk before God is another. Why don't I let him tell you a little bit more about what he's getting at.
Christian, what does God think of you? When he looks at you, is he smiling or is he frowning? Your walk with God day by day, that fluctuates, but your status before God, well, that's unchanging. In your walk, You're being progressively sanctified. You're gradually growing more and more like Jesus. But in terms of your status before God, you are 100% justified. Christ has taken your punishment. He's given you his righteousness. You're not living on trial before God. You are free to come near him. In your walk with God, you can please him when you obey him, but grieve him when you sin. In your status before God, it never changes. You're loved unconditionally, constantly by your heavenly Father. No matter what you do, he doesn't just tolerate you. He loves you as he loves his own son, because you are united to Christ. Again, in your walk with God, you sometimes rightly feel guilty. That's a good thing if it leads you to confess your sin and turn from it. That's your walk. But your status, you are always fully, freely forgiven because of Christ's death for you on the cross. There is no condemnation. In your walk with God, you're growing in holiness. That change can feel slow. It can be painful. In your status before God, that is as one who has been declared holy once and for all. So what does God think of you? Christian, you are perfect and a sinner. A sinner in your walk, perfect in your status before God. So God is always smiling at you because of Jesus. Know that deep down. It changes everything. Christian, it's time to see yourself as God sees you.
Well, I hope you found that brief insight helpful. I know I did. And if this is an area that is a struggle for you, or you just want to understand how God sees you more, then recommend you pick up a copy of the book yourself from the Good Book Company. The details are on screen. But it's something that really is at the heart of Christian maturity, understanding our status before God and our walk before God, and how those things are held in tension is, I think, really important for us to grasp. There's one other aspect to the verses that we're looking at today that I wanted to draw out just very briefly. We read, "Precious are your thoughts concerning me, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." And I think it's a really interesting way of finishing off these two verses with this statement about being awake or waking up and knowing that we are still with God. And I was reflecting on this in terms of my own parenting of my children. I've got two young boys. What's interesting about that parent-child dynamic is children, certainly young children, take a lot for granted without thinking about things. You know, I'm very conscious of looking after my children. I when they go to sleep, I'm there. I'm providing security, comfort, all those sorts of things. But as far as they're concerned, they go to bed peacefully for the most part, and they wake up in the morning expecting that to be the case. You know, I've provided all that security and comfort for them, but they're kind of blissfully unaware of that. It's just the normal way of things. And I think this is something that the psalmist kind of picks up on. It's this idea that, you know, when he's asleep, God is still thinking of him and watching over him. And, you know, there are plenty of times during the day when I'm not conscious of God. When I'm going about the things that I have to do and God is not in my thoughts. But I am always in God's thoughts. He has that parental watching over all the time for each one of us. And we can rest in that security that even when we're not conscious of God, he is very conscious of us. Isn't it wonderful to know how invested God is in us? how much he loves us and thinks about us and is aware of what we're doing and where we are. It's a tremendous privilege to be known by God. And I hope and I pray that you know and you experience that today. And if you don't, if you're struggling to become aware of how God sees you and how God watches over you, then really the key to it is to grasp hold of what God says through his word. He has spoken amazing things over your life. And they're for you to discover, like precious jewels, like discovering those beautiful grains of sand. So I really encourage you to delve deeper, spend longer with God in prayer, in reading the scriptures, and in holding on the truth of what he says. And as I say, if this is a struggle for you, then maybe getting hold of that book might be a helpful starting point. Well, I hope that's been useful just to unpack those two verses. It's amazing how much you can get from just two verses of scripture. But why don't I pray for us now, and then we'll conclude our service by singing together. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these two incredible verses that reveal something of your heart for each one of us. And Lord, I pray that we would grasp the truth of what has been spoken today. That we would hear your love and your concern for each one of us, and we would believe it. We would know it to be true. And Lord, where we struggle, where we have doubts, where we have fears, would you, through your Spirit, reassure us and strengthen our faith? Lead us forward from this time, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, let's say the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, I could think of no better song to follow up on what we've been reflecting on than Blessed Assurance. So let's finish our service and go out from this place in full assurance of how God views us. Let's sing together, Blessed Assurance.